Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
These discounts are explosive. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
At least two store employees are still missing and feared trapped, perhaps even dead inside. And firemen are ripping the rubble apart, hoping that they don't find them. They were among the countless people in the Ross clothing store when the explosion erupted at about 4:47, ripping the store apart, blowing out the front and portions of the roof, demolishing the inside, trapping countless shoppers and employees, blowing out windows in nearby businesses in a roar that was heard miles away, leaving officials bewildered about the source of the gas.
On March 24th, 1985, an employee was just getting to work at his job in a local department store in Los Angeles, California. He was in a storeroom down in the basement under the Ross Dress for Less clothing store with his punch card in his hand, ready to check in for his shift. He slipped the card into the punch clock on the wall, but what would happen next would go on to shape law and legislation in Los Angeles to this day. We are talking about the Ross Dress for Less explosion.
Whoa.
If you're familiar with Los Angeles, it's right near the Grove.
Okay.
The old farmer's market in the Grove.
I know exactly where that is.
I've been in there.
Yeah. I've gotten some deep discounts there. That's crazy. It's such a interestingly low-key part of the area because you've got the Grove and that's kind of a hub for shopping. And then you've got this line of other malls. There's so many strip malls around there. So many gigantic stores.
And if you might be familiar with Ross.
Mm-hmm. I was born in a Ross. That's not true. But I have spent my time in a Ross Dress for Less.
If you had a choice between Ross and TJ Maxx, which one would you go
to? TJ Maxx. I mean,
you're a Maxinista?
I'm a Maxinista through and through. My mom would kill me if I said Ross Dress for Less. It's polarizing in my family.
Well, maybe she'll enjoy this episode, or maybe she won't. No, of course she doesn't.
Why should she? No consequence to her.
The spark from the punch clock stamping the time and date onto his punch card would cause an explosion that blew the roof off the building. The shop window shattered, the metal clothing racks curled and splintered, sending pieces of sharp shrapnel through the entire store and out into the streets, including the blocks around the building and the adjacent parking lot. Cracks and fissures formed in the pavement, bursting into flames, terrifying the locals and the emergency crew that quickly showed up to help. Miraculously, no one was killed, including the employee who was at the heart of the explosion, but 23 people ended up in the hospital for their injuries. But what happened, and how did a punch clock cause so much devastation? Well, technically it didn't. Not on its own, anyway. LA sits on top of the Salt Lake oil field, which was discovered back in 1902. That's, I know it's your era. I know you're 1902.
I love, give me a turn of the century jam any day. I'm listening.
And since then, major industries have been set up to mine and extract the oil and other natural resources in and around the area. Ross Dress for Less was not necessarily near any of the active mines, but was very close to old mine shafts and other underground tunnels that were slowly filling with the toxic gas, methane.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, too, because the La Brea tar pits are maybe a couple miles from there. It's a whole underground grid of gases, mines, and oils.
In 1985, Los Angeles, mm-hmm. you know, it's compared to now Los Angeles, very different.
Truly. The
traffic is different. The amount of people that were probably, the Grove wasn't there, it was just the farmer's market.
Yeah.
As far as I know, the Grove is, I don't know, years old, 20 plus years old.
Yeah, probably 20. But yeah, it would just be the farmer's market, which has been around since, I think, 1921, maybe? Is that
39?
Right?
I don't know. I want to say 31, 20s? 29, 30, 31, yeah. 39.
That makes sense. In that 20-year span. We'll get there. But yeah, it's much more rural, much more disparate than what we think of as like the connected grid of the Los Angeles roads of like Santa Monica, Sunset, you know, Melrose in that area.
No one noticed the dangerous levels of methane in the basement because there were no sensors down there to actively check for it. And natural methane is odorless. So maybe 1985, the codes, and I'm speculating, may not have been up to snuff.
That makes sense. I mean, LA in the 80s, what code? What?
Yeah.
A rating? legislative actions to protect people's safety? Come on.
I mean, Ray-Bans and bikinis mm-hmm. and
neons.
Cocaina. That's, ooh, you know what I mean?
Coca.
But sensors? Nah.
No.
Companies actually did add chemicals to the methane and natural gas that we use at home to try to make sure that we notice it if there's any leaks in our system so we can mm-hmm. hopefully get out before anything like that explosion happens. Or that we inhale too much gas and die. I mean, I'm always worried about that.
Or like I wake up every day thinking, A, I have COVID, or B, am I slowly getting poisoned by a gas leak that's happening in my home?
But there was no odor on that day in March 1985, so the police and other emergency services evacuated 4 blocks around the area of the explosion, especially when the fire kept spreading and bursting through the cracks in the pavement.
Jesus.
Still burning and spouting flames long into the night. And right now, we're going to get long into a break. Hi, hello, how are you?
Hello, how are you doing today?
This is the check-in.
You're here at the check-in with us. Grab a throw pillow, sit down. There's tissues to your left. Tell us how you're feeling.
We want to say hello to anyone who's listening. Thank you for listening, supporting the show, mm-hmm. spreading the good word.
Absolutely. Very, very thankful.
You are in our thoughts and dreams.
Thoughts and dreams? Lucid thoughts and not so lucid dreams.
I confuse the two sometimes, so yeah, look out.
Sense. Whoa. But for you, it's a good place to be, yeah. Listener. It's very powerful.
Right in the crosshairs.
Very powerful.
I know who's got us in their crosshairs, but they don't do anything. They have the power, but they don't do anything about it. They don't use their governmental power.
No, they don't. They use, but they don't abuse.
They just let us know we can get to you.
Anyway, we can. And then they should. They have full access to me. Any time of day, text me.
The mayor's wearing all black.
Mm.
Very mysterious.
I like that. I'm turned on.
Sunglasses. Mm. But they blend right in so you don't know they're there.
That makes me a little more paranoid.
Back in black, Ashley Mattson.
Hello.
Kat Joselle.
Hello.
And Dara Rosenzweig.
Hello.
And wearing whatever the heck she wants. Woo! Every day is casual Friday. Every day is weird shirt, Hawaiian shirt Thursday. Every day is whatever Wednesday.
Oh, she gets to you get to choose. It's in her power because she is the one and only
Avian Noble, our governor and our best friend.
Our only friend.
Yeah, I was going to say best friend. I was thinking about friends. I was like, nope, no, best
Jason
and only.
Jason's my colleague. Avian is my best friend. That's it.
So if you want to be part of this elusive government, you know, you want to work in government.
Yeah.
You want early access. Mm-hmm. No chit chat.
Cut the shit.
Bonus episodes. You want to binge, but you don't want to hear all the junk.
Mm-mm.
Which that'll tie right into our Apple Podcast reviews.
Uh-oh.
Go to patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Now we return to a special episode of Apple Podcast Reviews. Thank you to anyone who's ever sent one, or if you send it to another platform, we appreciate it all. It helps us all. We love it. Mm-hmm. Good, the bad, the ugly, and more good, and the good.
Absolutely.
And the best, and the good.
This is my favorite part and least favorite part.
Great. 5 stars.
Hmm.
Awesome show to binge for hours in my wood shop. We've built some beautiful furniture and a swim spa deck together.
Whoa.
Both hosts have great radio voices.
I like that one.
Not shock jock style. That one's from the Monsons.
I love that. I want to buy a piece of furniture that you made.
Yes.
Listening to Ghost Town.
And send us some pictures. I love seeing befores and afters of
Of
what you've done.
I love people who have real skill sets.
Yeah. Mostly they get jealous. The best. 5 stars. Mm. I love this podcast. I love the banter and cussing and everything about you.
Me or you? Who are you talking about?
It's
the royal you.
Yeah, maybe it's me.
No, it's probably me. It's gotta be me. It's probably
that's where the cussing comes from. That was from Nicole Hall.
Oh, thank you.
Both in the US of A. Y'all, 5 stars.
Okay, I'm waiting for the shoe to drop, so
it will.
Okay.
I'm listening for the adverts now. The two of you make me feel like I'm right there. Your reviews of the reviews are solid. Whoever is doing sound modulates perfectly. Keep it up. Just beautiful.
Well, that's for you.
Yeah. I do some modulating.
Wow.
If you're ever listening and you're like, this is a little uneven, or there's like, the pacing is off, you don't know how good you have it. Because in its most raw form, it is dicey.
Unlistenable? Trash.
If we were one of those people like, we don't edit our stuff, it would be a nightmare.
Oh, no.
So you got a good.
Ooh, the VIP listening experience.
And that was from Sarah Jane Looney in the US of A. Okay, here's the last one. It's not terrible.
Okay.
I have an issue with it a little bit. Jam-packed with ads, 4 stars.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Continue. What else do you have to say?
The topics are good and the hosts are pleasant to listen to. However, there are so many ads packed into an episode that it becomes hard to follow or listen all the way through. Hmm. I usually save it for when I have nothing left to listen to for these reasons. I would listen more if there weren't so many ad interruptions. That's from Majestic Giraffe in the USA. I'll say this, is that if you never listened to an episode, you would think, okay, so there's ads in the beginning. Then they talk, then there's ads. Talk, more ads. Talk, ads. It's not like that. There's, like every podcast, before we even start, there's ads. Mm-hmm. Then there are ads during the break in the middle. Mm-hmm. And then there are no more ads unless you're past the episode being over.
Yeah.
So it only stops once. And once it starts up, it doesn't break into any, there's, you know, where some podcasts do, they'll cut in, you know, a couple of times, but
for sure,
we throw it all in the middle for that reason.
Great.
Only. So that's why I don't really get the interruptions. Yes, there's one interruption when we say there's a break, and then there's mm-hmm. no more interruptions.
It's a free service with the minimal inconveniencing of you. But I'll say, I mean, like, I will take the note too, because I understand maybe after a break we can give more context just in case people kind of don't follow. So I'll take that note. I'll take it. I'll be your bottom of the barrel podcast, and hopefully we can learn from that criticism.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, and you know, sometimes I don't like listening to ads. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what, you know.
It's the biz, baby.
Yeah. Things cost money, take time, and yeah. all that kind of stuff. But we did it purposefully. So once you got through the break, mm-hmm. you would not be bothered again.
Yeah. And I promise you, we're not benefiting by any of these in the real sense
yes,
of benefiting.
Yes,
the giant sense of, like, we're not making like tons of money no. off of these ads that we're forced to put in this podcast.
Yeah. So thank you. I guess.
Thank you.
For that.
Notes taken.
Now, for the final review, we go back to Los Angeles, and Yelp didn't exist yet, but we're going to go back to this Ross Dress for Less.
Oh, how many stars are we going to give it?
I would still give it, because you know what? LA is resilient. Nobody died.
Yeah.
Which is good.
That's great.
And we're going to get to how it changed LA a little bit. This one event changed the infrastructure of Los Angeles.
I love it.
Within days, a drill rig was brought in to test for any other gas accumulations under the surface, and they found a large pocket of pressurized gas 42 feet below the parking lot of the Ross Dress for Less, as well as similar but smaller pockets in and around the area. They quickly installed pressure gauges, control valves, and a valved flare pipe was installed over that big pocket, which would essentially allow people to release the gas in a controlled way that wouldn't end up with another explosion.
Great.
So there were still issues, and they had to find a way to, like, slowly get rid of that buildup of gas.
And there's not ever not going to be issues. Like, you think 42 feet under the ground, that's just the pocket that's closest. And as time goes on and those gases build up, it's inevitable that this will happen again unless there are changes made.
And I want you to think, maybe you can guess or think about it, what might that affect in the future? Something mm-hmm. underground in Los Angeles.
Hmm.
Think about it.
Hmm.
See if anyone out there can guess what that might be.
Uh-oh.
But all of this created much bigger problems than what to do with the gas that was building underneath the city. Dealing with natural gas buildups was not a new thing for the city of Los Angeles. In fact, a school just across the street from the Ross Dress for Less, there's not a school there now, it's the Grove.
Yeah.
The truly, Grove.
The sprawling shopping center.
It's a huge outdoor mm-hmm. mall.
The school of discount and and shop till you drop university.
There was no school then, but mm-hmm. there's no school now, but there was then. The school just across the street from the Ross Dress for Less had fans underneath to help keep the air circulating underneath the building and made sure that the dangerous levels of methane couldn't build up. But there were huge plans to build a subway.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath that particular stretch of the city, and which would make sense. The idea was to create a line that would allow people to travel from more of the suburban areas into the more rural areas.
Yeah.
And the subway system in Los Angeles is always a big topic of conversation.
Absolutely. Transportation in general is a big topic of conversation because, as we've touched upon this many a time, the city expanded far faster than it expected to. The freeway systems are very flawed. There's a lot going on, and the way that we handle transportation is incredibly complicated, to say the least.
And at the time, there was already petitions before the explosion happened about what digging would do under there, like mm-hmm. what would a subway entail. Some people are on both sides. There are subways here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And actually, some of them are really beautiful. They're awesome.
Also, like, not a lot of people, when you think about a subway and it's daily use by a lot of populations of cities, you think, wow, like, gritty, et cetera. L.A. statistically doesn't use its subway as much as other cities, so it's much cleaner. And if you're in certain areas, it's incredible. If you're in downtown, if you're in Hollywood, if you're in the Valley. But then there are some stretches where it's like
useless. Like, if you want to go to the West.
Now there's that new one that goes to the beach. But like,
yeah,
where we're right now in Echo Park, it is very, very hard to get a subway. And there's one a mile away. That's the closest one. And you would never find that in another city with the same density.
You're really at some point you might as well drive. Is kind of the take on that.
Yeah. But I never really thought about it that way, in that building a subway, the dangers of building a subway in these concentrated areas with these pockets that could become explosive.
Now public representatives had something more to argue with for why there shouldn't be any more digging going on under the surface of that stretch of the city, and things got a little sticky.
Ooh.
A city task force was quickly put together to try to figure out where this big pocket of pressurized gas had come from. They came up with a theory that subsurface bacteria had been eating underground biomasses, including oil, and these bacteria had actually left a big pocket behind.
Mm.
Fun.
Wow. Mm. That's new scientific information to fear late at night.
But not everyone agreed. That was just one theory.
Okay.
A lawsuit was filed against McFarland Energy, which had drilled slanting mines from their property into oil reserves under the surface of land that was adjacent to theirs. The lawsuit claimed that the explosion had been a result of one of these mine shafts being incorrectly capped and sealed, but McFarland disagreed.
No negligence here.
No, please, we're a big company.
Please, we have everyone's best interest at heart.
They said that the methane gas had been created by natural causes and had nothing to do with their mining activities, but then they settled out of court and the lawsuit was dropped. They were like, we are in the right.
Yep. You're wrong. We're right. How much money do you want? Please shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Our stockholders are getting nervous.
We're not going to go to battle in this. Let's just all agree that I'm right with a heavy paycheck. Is that cool with you guys? Great.
But it wasn't this lawsuit that was the final nail in the coffin for the plan to create a subway in that area. Isotopic tests done on the gas revealed that it had, in fact, been produced by the Salt Lake City oil field, and that meant there could be more.
Oh.
The city of LA quickly declared approximately 400 blocks that were over the oil field as a high potential methane zone.
Okay.
And I know that sounds cool in the 80s, but not good.
I mean, I never even thought about this when I complain about not having adequate subway systems in Los Angeles. This is new. This is opening my eyes. This is very new to me.
That one, they were just building this up so quickly, as you were saying, that they didn't even think of, like, what if we wanted to, what about public transportation?
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
And like, I take a limousine everywhere. What do I care?
Yeah, what do you care? I take a private jet.
A term that hadn't even existed before that explosion in 1985. They ordered the construction of several gas monitoring and venting wells throughout the city, that every building in that 400 block area should be equipped with methane detectors. And of course, the plan to build a subway was scrapped.
Mm-hmm. Very tragic.
This was a huge victory for the locals that had been petitioning against the project since it had been approved back in the early 80s. But it wasn't the end of the Salt Lake City oil field's explosive behavior.
Uh-oh.
Just 4 years later, in 1989, another explosion happened because of the buildup of methane gas, not too far from the Ross Dress for Less.
Well, fuck. Get out of that area.
To call it an explosion is probably a bit of an exaggeration, but a buildup of methane gas that was actually a result of secure defenses put up in the neighboring area after the 1985 explosion caused a big burst of mud, silt, and methane gas to come streaming out of a bank.
Like an embankment.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay, okay.
There was no explosion this time because there was nothing to ignite it, and it was quickly determined that it was caused by one of the improper management of one of the relief wells. So luckily, no one was hurt, and it was a relatively easy fix. It did lead to stricter regulations on methane monitoring, but due to advances in technology today, they're not as closely monitored as they used to be. These advances in technology have also led to the construction of a subway that does now go through that no-go area. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mm-hmm. they've navigated it.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. So if you've been on the Purple Line in Los Angeles, you've actually gone through a piece of land that helps shape the city of Los Angeles's laws on methane and other natural gas regulations.
That's the line I was talking about, the Purple Line that goes to the ocean. Haven't used it because I'm a Los Angelino and I drive my car.
I used it when it first opened, I think. Didn't it? Pretty recently?
I think it's the most recent one.
Yeah.
But it's very exciting. This feels like another thing for me to worry about, like, constantly. And also is something that we lose sight of, especially in this city, where it's like, hey, we're on an active piece of the earth. Always.
Never mind always. Earthquakes.
Exactly. Never mind the other incredible things that could happen to us just based on timing and tectonic plates and time and place and the weather. Like, pick a thing. It could happen to us here.
I was going to say, good thing you're a Maxinista.
Hey.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.